Sports Hour. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
Ah, yes, Tuesday, 3:01 here in Oswego. Sports Hour, usually with Brandon Ladd and Aaron Valentino. Today, it's just me. Aaron's off in Syracuse at his internship at CMY Central. And he will be for the rest of the semester on Tuesdays. So, the Tuesday edition of Sports Hour from now on will be called Ladd and Friends. Well, today the friends were busy, so Tuesday Sports Hour is just me, Brandon Ladd. We have a lot to get into today. It's kind of cool to be back on the radio by myself. This is how I started 3 years ago. It's actually the three-year anniversary of my first ever radio show here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And I started 3 years ago by myself. This is exactly how I started. It's been a wild 3 years since, but every single time I get behind this microphone, I have a similar message to give, and I just want to talk about sports with you. And we have a lot to talk about today. Yankees, Red Sox, the consequences of that wild card game tonight at 8 o'clock. This is a special Tuesday, October the 5th. It doesn't get any higher in consequences. Consequences will be the theme of the show today. We have a lot to get into there. I'm going to give you my top 10 NFL teams later in the show. Also, we got to talk about the week ahead in New York sports, what me and Aaron will be talking about tomorrow, and what you will be reading tomorrow morning. Also, we have a lot to recap from Monday, and we'll get right into that right now. First off, the show, I don't think in its history, has ever started with NASCAR as its main theme, but that is exactly where I'm going to start today. And it was the rain postponed, so usually NASCAR races are on Sunday. This isn't that new of a concept to anyone. So Talladega, the most special race of the year, playoff race, a lot of stipulations and a lot of consequence for what that means for the NASCAR playoffs. And we wouldn't have talked about it at all, but we need to talk about it because for the second time in NASCAR Cup Series history, an African-American has won a Cup Series race. Yesterday, finally, Bubba Wallace, after years of trying, breaks through and wins the rain-shortened race at Talladega yesterday, fearlessly holding off Denny Hamlin and six-time Talladega winner Brad Keselowski, also a great plate racer, and Joey Logano. Just a fearless 3-4 laps to end that race. He knew the rain was coming. The whole entire field knew the rain was coming. He held them off. And it's special because when we talk about NASCAR, what do you think? You think of a Southern sport. So why is this so special? Because this is only the second time an African-American driver has won at the highest level in NASCAR. And you'll say to yourself, what's the big deal of that? Well, at the moment, Bubba Wallace is the only African-American driver in the top series in NASCAR. He's the only one. And it's been that way for a while now. And it's very important when we recognize these events for what they mean and what they are to the sport, because it allows the sport to grow and be more inclusive. It also allows all of us to be more inclusive as well. So, very meaningful day for NASCAR yesterday. Also, Wendell Scott was the other NASCAR driver to win Jacksonville, 1962, way back then. And how far we've come in this country? Well, I'll tell you. Earlier this year, the Scott family finally received that trophy from that race. It took 59 years for that trophy to be received by that family, because at that point in this country, there was no trophy ceremony that day in 1962. There was no acknowledgement that he won the race. They just packed up and moved on to the next thing. they would not give him the trophy that day. Yesterday, we gladly gave Bubba Wallace the trophy. So, something to think about on this Tuesday, and something to think about how meaningful that was for the sport of NASCAR, sports in general, America in general, yesterday on Monday. Pivoting to Monday Night Football, kind of a bizarre one. Didn't start till 8:55. They were playing in a dome in L.A., SoFi Stadium. Beautiful SoFi Stadium. It's really getting the reputation as the nicest stadium in all of sports right now in America. It's loud. It's a beautiful setting. Inglewood, California, right outside of L.A. And it's really setting up for some great atmospheres and environment for great football games this year. And you think about it, whenever the Chargers play anybody in there this year, they got to be ready to go to the silent count when they're on offense. Such a weird concept, but that stadium is such a coliseum of noise, and there was so many Raiders fans last night that they got to be prepared for that. Chargers beat the Raiders 28-14 last night on Monday Night Football. And you think about it, this was a meaningful game for both teams. Raiders came into last night 3-0. Chargers came in 2-1. Their lone loss on the year was to the Cowboys. It was a close one at SoFi Stadium. Chargers have played so great this year. They beat the Chiefs last week. The Raiders, what do we know about them? We don't know too much at the moment. Are they a playoff team? Are they not? Did they get lucky with their schedule to start 3-0? It's a conversation we had about a few teams in the NFL going into this weekend. Carolina, Denver. So, last night, Chargers proved they're legit, and they go out there, win 28-14, Justin Herbert with another great game, and I think Justin Herbert's really proving himself to be one of the top, I wouldn't even say 10, he's a top 5 quarterback right now in the NFL, and just for what he's doing for his team, talent-wise, he's number 2 in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes. But you come into year 2 of your NFL career, nobody's going to give you that much credit. They're going to give Dak Prescott the benefit of the doubt. They're going to give Aaron Rodgers the benefit of the doubt. They're going to give Russell Wilson the benefit of the doubt. But for what he's doing for his team right now, what he's doing for LA and making them competitive again, Justin Herbert, top 5 quarterback in the NFL right now, all around, number 2 in the NFL in talent. He was absolutely fantastic last night. As I'm going to read off the stats for you. You look at it last night for him. 25 of 38, 222, 3 touchdowns, as efficient as it gets. Chargers run game got going. Austin Eckler, 15 carries, 117 yards, and he gets the 4th touchdown of the game. For the Chargers, Jared Cook, you just can't put this guy out to pasture. It seems like he gets cut from a team every 2 years, and then suddenly he's on a new team. And he's being productive for them. 6 receptions, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Raiders, they got to go back to the drawing board after last night's game. Derek Carr, John Gruden. Derek Carr, when he was down 21-0, you say to yourself, okay, this is the guy that John Gruden has tried to get rid of for years now. He gets those 2 quick touchdowns, making absolutely beautiful deep balls to Henry Ruggs. Gets a PI on one, gets a completion on another. You're saying to yourself, oh, this is the Henry Ruggs that we all thought about and talked about for so long now, who can be a playoff quarterback. We saw it years ago before he got injured in week 17. This is the Derek Carr that can lead the Raiders to the playoffs year in and year out. Then he stumbles at the end of the game, and we're back to Derek Carr's the guy John Gruden is trying to get rid of. Both of these teams going to be in my top 10 later, just one. We got to see. That's why you're going to stick around. 3:40, I'm going to list off my top 10 teams in the NFL right now. Lots of Yankees jerseys in MCC today walking by me. Big game for the Yankees and Red Sox tonight. What are the consequences of that? We are going to talk about that. Also, top 10 list coming up. But when we get back, we're going to be talking Red Sox, Yankees. Most meaningful game of the year. It means so much to everyone around. Stick around. You're listening to Sports Hour on WMYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
Yeah. I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from with OG at a Yankee game. That made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of...
Welcome back to Sports Hour on WMYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Tuesday, beautiful Tuesday here in Oswego. About 64 degrees, gray out. That's what you expect. You don't want to see the sun again in Oswego until March. I think we're all vitamin D deficient around here. But that comes with the territory of the city and town. We have a lot to talk about this game tonight. First, I want to talk about, though, are you a Jay-Z and Alicia Keys version of the song, or are you a Frank Sinatra version of the song? Me, personally, I like when they're mixed together. There's a SoundCloud version of this that starts with Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, and then it switches into Alicia Keys and Jay-Z's version. But what are you? Are you new school, Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, or are you old school, Frank Sinatra? Tonight, it will not matter, though, because the Yankees are shipping up to Boston. Dropkick Murphys gave us that. That'll be the song we come back to on the next break, because we need to be fair, even though I'm a Yankees fan. There's major consequences to this game tonight. Think about it this way. When you meet someone, what are the consequences? Well, the consequences are, do they like you or do they not like you? Those are the consequences when you meet somebody new. So when you have a matchup like this, I see it as similar consequences, because this is a win or go home game tonight. This is a winner take all wild card game. Whoever loses tonight, their season is over. Forget the past 162 games. It's kind of cruel that we figure it out this way, but it's the sport of baseball. When you're 4-5 in a league, you will play each other to see whose season is over with. Say, thank you for your effort the past 6 months, but you know what? Your season is over with. And we say to the winner, welcome to the playoffs. It's kind of a beautiful concept if you think about it. But that's what we have tonight. So we have consequences. So why do I compare this to meeting somebody new? And let's say you like this person, and they might like you too. But first impressions matter. I always say it over at the Oswegonian. I always talk to my staff about how you begin the week is how you're going to end the week. First impressions matter. If you're working on an InDesign, if you're giving out story ideas, if you're just brainstorming how your week's going to go, writing out your calendar, it's the same exact thing for being successful at what you do. It's the same exact thing for dating. It's the same exact thing we have for the Yankees and Red Sox tonight. So let's say you like this person. First impressions matter is what I'm telling you. You take them out on a date. Let's say you're nervous. You're trying to tuck in your collared shirt, and it's just not going. You try to zip your khakis up, and, oh wait, the khakis are too small. I grabbed the wrong khakis. It's one of those. So you're going to be nervous for this tonight. Yankees and Red Sox are going to be nervous. Still, you got to go out there and be the best version of yourself. Which, if you think about it, which team is going to be the best version of themselves tonight? That's who's going to win. So we have a lot to get into with this game. Pitching matchup tonight, Nathan Eovaldi against Gerrit Cole. Eovaldi 11-9 on the year. Gerrit Cole 16-8. If you just took a screenshot of that, you're saying, okay, I know who the favorite is in this game. Gerrit Cole. It should have been a World Series MVP if the Astros went on and beat the Nationals that year. If Juan Soto didn't get him oppo, Gerrit Cole would be a World Series MVP. Cy Young winner. Absolute dominant pitcher. We know what he can bring at the most important moment of the year. We saw it in 2018. We saw it in 2019. We saw it in 2020. So, if you just look at this matchup here, and you know Nathan Eovaldi hasn't pitched in the postseason since 2018, the last time the Red Sox made it, you're saying to yourself, okay, advantage Yankees. We know that. Another advantage, Yankees won all three of those games in Boston a few weeks ago. 9-24, 9-25, 9-26. Well, those were an 8-3 Yankees win, a 5-3 Yankees win, then a 6-3 Yankees win on Sunday Night Baseball, all in Fenway. Okay, we check another box. Advantage Yankees. We talk about this here. This is the Yankees' 18th playoff game since the 2018 World Series ended. That's great. There's a lot of teams that have played that many postseason games since then. Astros, Dodgers. Well, this is Boston's first playoff game since that 2018 World Series they won. Okay, check it off again. Three advantages for the Yankees. Who's got the better roster? Yankees. Who's got Judge and Stanton? Yankees. J.D. Martinez is injured? Well, crap. Another advantage to the Yankees. The Yankees should win this game tonight. There are a lot of consequences right now. And the winner of this game gets to move on in the postseason. Loser, your season's done. All things are favoring the Yankees. Yankees should absolutely win this game. Think of the preseason expectations. Think of the recent play in September. Think of where the Yankees came from this summer when they were back of the Red Sox by 9 games. They've come all the way back. But there's one thing. They still got to play the game tonight. And if you think about it, Gerrit Cole struggled in recent weeks. If you look at his September, 3-2, 5.13 ERA. Nathan Eovaldi, 1-1, 3.94 ERA. Gerrit Cole has not been sharp recently. Struggled mightily against the Blue Jays. Laid an egg against the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't care he's 6-1 in his last 8 postseason starts. He's got to be out there with the old Gerrit Cole mindset right now, and I'm not sure if he has that. Aroldis Chapman, if this is a one-run game and he comes in the 9th, does he have what it takes to shut it down? I don't know. I really don't know at this moment. Yankees have Judge and Stanton, and one of them probably will hit a home run tonight. But the Red Sox have Rafael Devers. The Red Sox have Xander Bogaerts. You never know when Bobby Dalbec will go deep on you. You never know what effect Kyle Schwarber, a seasoned postseason veteran, will bring for the Red Sox tonight. And you're not sure which Nathan Eovaldi you're facing tonight. Is he the Nathan Eovaldi that gave up 7 earned runs against the Yankees that Friday night, September 24th, in 2 2/3 innings? Or is he the Nathan Eovaldi who had an ERA of 1.61 in the 2018 postseason and turned into the most dominant setup man in all of baseball? He could do it both. He could start and pitch the 8th inning. He could be a bridge guy in some of those long extra inning games. So, all things favor the Yankees tonight, but still, there's a reason why we play the game. And this is a game with a lot of consequences. And as I said, I think it compares to a first date because one of these teams will get dumped after this first date and one of these teams will try to move on in their relationship. 8 o'clock start. ESPN very lucky to have this game tonight. How lucky is ESPN? I don't think many people are going to be watching Dodgers-Cardinals tomorrow night. I think we know what the result of that one will be. Kind of unfair that the NL has a 140-game winner in the wild card game tomorrow night. AL, ESPN, 92-70. Two 92-70 teams. Yankees, a favorite by a run and a half. People are hyped for this game, and this has consequences for both teams. This has consequences for the mood of the Northeast, mood of cities. One of these cities is going to wake up very grumpy tomorrow. One of these cities is going to wake up very excited knowing that Thursday and Friday they get to watch some playoff baseball. And they get to try to get some payback against the Tampa Bay Rays. If I was a betting man tonight, I think the Yankees have a good chance of winning. My prediction, Gerrit Cole wakes up. He realizes who he is. He realizes what this game means. He realizes why he was brought here. But at the same point, how many Red Sox are having that same exact thought? DJ LeMahieu out for the Yankees. Already mentioned that JD Martinez is out for the Red Sox. Gio Urshela should play for the Yankees tonight. Made a diving play into the dugout in the final game of the season, Sunday against Tampa Bay. Amazing play, but he put himself in a position to be injured. It's something that is regrettable if he misses any postseason time, but he should play tonight. So a lot of things favoring the Yankees. Game is in Fenway. There's a few places you just do not want to go into. I would say the Bronx is one of them, but Fenway's right there on the list, and the Yankees are going into hostile territory. So with all those facts, make up who you think is going to win tonight, who you're rooting for. I know I'll be rooting for the Yankees and praying that they can bring their best baseball tonight against the Boston Red Sox. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about more consequences, theme of the show today. We're going to talk about Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins, this whole vaccine controversy going on in the NBA right now. You're listening to WMYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour on WMYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Sports Hour on a Tuesday here, October 5th. As I said earlier, a nice seasonal day here in Oswego. A busy week for a lot of people. Midterms coming up next week. If you are a freshman or a sophomore, I give you the best of luck for those. If you're a junior and a senior, you've been around the block. If you get to my level, super senior, midterms don't exist anymore. Every week is midterm week when you're at the grad level. So, best of luck in your endeavors next week, or academic endeavors. And we have a lot to talk about here when it comes to the NBA, and it kind of hits close to home. Sports Hour, a New York-based radio show. We all know Aaron Valentino and his love affair for the New York Jets, the New York Mets. Says he's a Brooklyn Nets fan. I don't know about that, but he is, and he'll cheer on both the Nets and the Knicks, and we know he's cheering against the Bills and the Giants week after week, but it's what we talk about. So, when something like this comes up, and it's even an uncomfortable conversation, we have to have this uncomfortable conversation. It's what us in the media live for. I think we live to have some of these uncomfortable conversations, because we need to be the gap and the messenger for how you should interpret some of these events. And again, make your own interpretations from the facts I lay out to you. And if it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. So right now, this is not facts. This is my opinion. Kyrie Irving is being the most selfish person in the NBA right now. He's being selfish. It's plain and simple how selfish he is being right now. It's asinine. It is absolutely asinine. It's like, sir, please sit the hell down. You're out of pocket. You're being outlandish. And you're just being an absolute idiot. That's the only way I can put it. And we know Kyrie Irving. We know he's a very selfish guy. And we know it's all about him. And we know he likes to go against the grain. Some people like people that go against the grain. When you always go against the grain, it just makes you look obtuse, acute. I don't give a damn if you're a right angle, but still, you just look like an absolute idiot. So, Kyrie Irving, he's putting up a stand right now. For what reason? I honestly don't know. New York City, Mayor de Blasio. Mayor de Blasio's on his way out. The new mayor, Eric Adams, will come in a couple months here, and he'll be the new mayor of New York City. But right now, Mayor de Blasio is in charge of New York City. Governor Kathy Hochul is in charge of the state of New York. And right now, the leadership in New York, especially New York City, and just common sense from here, there, and everywhere. I know a lot of you don't want to hear it, and freedom of choice is still a thing, but this is America. Freedom of choice still comes with consequences. We don't live in some whoop-de-doo society where, yeah, you do whatever you want, and yeah, there be no consequences for that. We reward people for doing the right thing, and right now the right thing is to, if you want to stop coronavirus, if you want to stop COVID-19, COVID-21, COVID whatever it is at this moment, the right thing to do is to get vaccinated. Right here on SUNY Oswego, we have a 98% vaccination rate. What does that allow us to do? Well, you're listening to it right now. It allows me and you to have a conversation on air right now. It allows me to go into my office with 17 other people and run a newspaper. It allows Aaron Valentino to go to CNY Central and partake in advancing his dreams at his internship. So that's why SUNY Oswego has a 98% vaccination rate right now. It's not that crazy of a concept. It's a reason why a lot of people got the vaccine. And you can do it for yourself, you can do it for others, but when people get the vaccine, it protects everyone around them. So New York City right now has a mandate that you cannot go to a gym, no matter what magnitude. If it's Joe Smo's on 8th Street that allows six people to lift at once, or if it's the Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden, those are all considered the same by letter of the law. They're gyms. And you cannot go in there and play right now if you have not been vaccinated. Kyrie Irving has not been vaccinated. So he's in a position right now to miss 41 home games this year because they will not let him play. They will not let him be on site. He knew this was coming. We knew what this was. And he's making a stand. And not many people agree with his stand. If you agree with his stand, then, again, freedom of choice is a thing. But at the same point, freedom of choice comes with consequences. Theme of the day. So Kyrie Irving is putting this whole stand that he will not get vaccinated, doesn't believe in vaccines, blah, blah, blah. And he's now in a position to lose $15 to $20 million of his salary because the NBA said any game that you miss for local health mandates, you will not get compensated for. You are done for. You will not get paid for that. So you really need to decide right now, am I going to get the vaccine? Or if you don't get the vaccine, you're not going to have a job. So, for the Brooklyn Nets, the favorite to win the NBA championship right now, they have their leader, their star, one of three. Kevin Durant and James Harden are also there. And James Harden and Kevin Durant probably could be pretty successful without Kyrie Irving. But when the three of them play, they are the best team in the NBA. And one of those three stars is setting a horrible example for everyone else, being selfish, not getting the concept at all. And he is now in a position to miss every single home game this year for the Brooklyn Nets. And you could say, well, there's only two places they have this, San Francisco and New York. Well, those are two very influential cities. Those are two cities that are trying to get ahead of this. Two cities that are trying to win. Two cities that have a pretty low COVID rate and are pretty powerful when it comes to the world economy. So that's why these mandates are in place. Nobody's trying to get you, Kyrie. They're just trying to protect you. They're trying to protect everybody else. And it's a very public example, but Kyrie Irving is being hellaciously selfish at the moment. Just immensely selfish. And does he not care about his teammates? Does he not care he's going to miss these 41 games? And at a certain point, what are you doing saying, well, respect my privacy, blah, blah, blah. We'll figure it out. No. Your teammates, the GM of your team, the owner of your team, your head coach, Steve Nash, the city of Brooklyn, everybody that's ever been a fan of you, they're looking for answers from you right now. Are you going to play those games? Because if you're not going to play those games, well, sir, you're out of a job. So it's in Kyrie Irving's hands right now. And I find it extremely selfish. You find it for whatever it is. But if he refuses to get the vaccine, he will lose out on $20 million of his $35 million salary. He will not help his teams for those 41 games. He'll probably get traded to another city. So there's one caveat of this that I think the NBA needs to fix. And right now they will allow for visiting teams to go into San Francisco and New York and play if they don't have the vaccine. That's probably going to change in the next couple of days because that's the one loophole that we're all finding from this mandate that New York City, San Francisco, and the NBA have put out, not collectively, but they put out so far as the letter of the law. So once they figure out that one, I think there's no excuse right now. If you want to play in the NBA, get the vaccine. If you want to entertain and make millions of dollars, get the vaccine. It sounds coarse, it sounds obtuse, whatever. If you want to do your job, and if you want to keep entertaining people, and you keep one of the amazing people who envy your talent, what so many people in this country would give to be able to play basketball like some of these people. That's why we're so fascinated by them. That's why we're fascinated by sports. Because it's like a code that so many people could never crack. So you're in amazement of it. Let's say somebody in your math class has been working on an equation for weeks that you've been working on too, and they're able to crack it. You've hit a wall. You can't figure it out. They're able to crack it. You're going to be in amazement of that person. I think you're going to follow them, and you're going to be entertained by what they have to say. So it's no different with the NBA. Kyrie Irving needs to realize he is an entertainer right now, and he can die on this hill. If this is his stand, he can die on this hill, just he is not going to be a Brooklyn Net come November if this is the hill he's going to die on. So he has a simple choice. Sean Marks said he's very confident that Kyrie will eventually get the vaccine and a resolution will be found. An uncomfortable conversation we had to have, but definitely a conversation we did have to have to keep you updated with how that situation is going, because it does affect the Nets' title hopes. And it's just one of those common sense things you need to get out every so often. When we get back, my top 10 list for the NFL currently going into week 5. You're listening to WMYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
See this in 3D. All lights out for me. All lights out for me. Lightning strikes the beach. 80 degrees. Warm it up for me. I can walk on water, 1,000 miles.
hands over the deep end. Sipping till my stomach hurt this month, I done lost 3 friends. Early morning brainstorming, normally I can't sleep in. Sometimes I just wanna restart it, but it all depends. If I'ma be that same young hungry from West End. But my heart is wrong, and the crazy part I ain't have no pen. Maybach interior came with sheepskin. Still remember when I just had 3 bands. Now I'm the one everyone call on, cause I got deep pants. Bro told me the way to beat the game is on the defense. And never face my name, so they might call me, but they gon' respect it. And I feel like you better off trying to call, I might not get the message. And she just tried to run off with my heart, but I blocked off the exit. Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome back to Sports Hour on WMYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. So we got off that conversation there, and now to something a little easier to talk about, because the Dallas Cowboys are having one hell of a year, if you ask me. My top 10 NFL teams at the moment. It's been a while since I gave a list like this, but I'm not even going to say take it for what it is. Take it. This is... Take my opinion on this. This is the top 10 teams in the NFL. Bring this to a party. Bring this to a lunch conversation. Bring this to work. If you give these 10 NFL teams to somebody, they will think you are a smart person. So, without further ado, my number 10 top NFL team, the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City, we've seen them struggle a bit this year. And they probably aren't playing like a top 10 team right at the moment. But as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, I don't care how much your defense has fallen off. And their defense has fallen off a bit. It's fallen back off to that level where they were a couple years ago and they were struggling to get by the Patriots before they were winning Super Bowls with Patrick Mahomes. It's fallen back off to that level, but still that offense is dangerous. So Kansas City, my number 10 team. Number 9, the Los Angeles Chargers. We saw them last night on Monday Night Football, and they were able to get their third win of the year. Their one loss, a close loss to the Dallas Cowboys in Week 2. And they've done it with a solid defense, an electric offense that just plays smart. They're able to chunk teams. Justin Herbert's able to make any throw he wants to. And there's some playmakers on that defense in Bosa and... Their secondary, Asante Samuel Jr., has been excellent so far this year. So, my number 9 team, the Los Angeles Chargers. My number 8 team, the Cleveland Browns. 3-1. It's one of the faster starts they've had to a season. Still not fully convinced. Baker Mayfield struggled immensely against the Cleveland Browns. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't been much of a factor since he's come back. So, 3-1. Take it for what it is. I think Cleveland's got a lot more to give. They were very impressive towards the end of last year. They're able to get a hard win. You're going to have a few of those along the way. But still, the number 8 team for me right now. My number 7 team, the Dallas Cowboys. Which, for the first time, I heard this morning. For the first time in a decade, the Dallas Cowboys might be underrated. We always talk about how the Cowboys are overrated. At the moment, it seems like the Cowboys are underrated, which is just a wild concept. Defense is getting takeaways. It's the big difference. 10 takeaways in 4 games so far. Took the Cowboys till game number 11 last year to get to 10 takeaways. Trayvon Diggs, a big part of that. The second year player is playing like a Hall of Famer. Rookie struggles turn into Hall of Fame success, I guess, because sophomore year is going great. Cowboys 3-1, Trayvon Diggs 5 interceptions, and that offense is unstoppable. And the balance right now in the play-action game is making them extremely, extremely dangerous. My number 6 team, the Green Bay Packers. The Packers struggled week 1. Not sure what to make of that. Recent weeks, they've been playing a little better. Offensive line scares me because they're a bit older. They had to be pieced together at times. It's usually what ends up killing them at the end of the year. And right now it's holding up, but who knows for how long it can hold up. Green Bay Packers, my number six team at 3-1. Number five, well, it's the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is playing great. He's actually a top 15 throwing quarterback at the moment. When did we ever think we'd say that? So, Baltimore playing very well so far this year. And the run game has been well, even though they lost J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards before the season. And when you run the ball as good as they do, and Lamar Jackson is such a threat to run, that means that you're going to have wide open throws. And it's working for their success. Their defense is able to get key stops. And they were really impressive in their win against Kansas City. They finally broke through and were able to get that win. My number five team, the Baltimore Ravens. My number four team, Tampa Bay. They didn't look their best against LA the week before this. They didn't look their best against against New England up in Foxborough. That was played in a monsoon, and there was a lot of motion to that game, so you get a pass for that. But still, Tampa Bay, 3-1 on the year, and now they are, as Jake Johnson joins me in studio, had to sprint in here. What are you on for?
I didn't have to sprint. I was just listening to your monologue earlier, and it inspired me.
Nice.
It inspired me to not only cheer for the Red Sox tonight, but also the Yankees.
Oh, so you're cheering for both teams tonight.
I'm just hoping it's a great game.
No, that's a good way to think about it. So I'm giving off my top teams, right? Have you heard any of my list?
I did not. I was on my drive over here on the phone.
Okay, so number 10, Kansas City. They've struggled, but obviously a top 10 team once they figure it out.
Yeah.
Number 9, Chargers.
Okay.
Number 8 was Cleveland.
All right.
I think Odell has really struggled since coming back. Number 7, the Cowboys.
Okay.
Number 6, the Packers.
Uh-huh.
Number 5, the Ravens.
Okay.
Number 4, Tampa. And that's where we're at.
Huh. Okay.
So between, I'll throw this to you here. Between the Rams, Cardinals, and Bills, what's your 3-1?
Cardinals, Bills, Rams. Right now. I don't think that's how we'll end the season.
Yeah.
I think we'll see the Cardinals maybe spiral a little bit, but I think they'll still be a top 10 team, and we're going to see the Chiefs climb again. I think we'll see the Ravens climb a little. I mean, they're already at 5, but Lamar has really impressed me this year.
That's my exact thoughts on it right now. I'd probably put the Bills a little ahead of the Rams as the top team, but I think we'll end with Bucks, Chiefs, and Ravens as the top three again.
Yeah, it was hard because, you know, that Bills game that they played the Steelers, they did not look good.
No.
They didn't look good at all, and we were thinking, oh, my God, what happened to the Bills? So it's hard. I mean, it's so early on in the season. Like, honestly, me and Kevin were talking about it. The Giants realistically should be 3-1 right now.
Yes.
Daniel Jones has looked like a top-5 quarterback. It somehow came out of the woodworks. But, you know, the call against the football team screwed us over, and then we lost to the Falcons on a last-second field goal. So we flip our calendar around, and we're 3-1. That could be said for, like, the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been unfortunate. Mahomes hasn't looked his best. Even with the Bills, they struggled against the Steelers. And, I mean, granted, then they played the Dolphins and the Texans.
Yes.
So this 40-0 win over the Texans, I mean, like,
I feel like we could have been a part of it.
Yeah. It's a test this weekend. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs-Bills. We'll really see where the Bills are at and the Chiefs. Because if the Chiefs come out, destroy the Bills like we've seen before, then we know they're for real. If the Bills come out, put up a good fight, they're going to be one of those top five teams, too. They just needed to work through some issues in their first couple of weeks.
I was just going to, that's how I was going to pivot for the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show, what we're going to be talking about the next 2 days once Aaron comes back here from, I hope he's okay. I haven't heard from him in a while.
I haven't heard from him all day, so.
Yeah, I hope he's okay. But if he makes it back to Oswego, he will be talking about this with us. But this upcoming week in New York sports, I think it's an important week. Giants play the Cowboys. Two very good teams recently. I would say they overperformed for what they could be.
Both
so
teams.
Far.
Well, no. Giants underperform. Aspects
still,
of it.
Still, the eye test is saying, okay, yeah, the Giants could actually be something.
Like Daniel
here.
Jones, like, overperforming yes, right now. He is incredible.
Saquon looks like Saquon.
Saquon, the first 3 weeks didn't. This week, he looked like he was back to Saquon. He had over 100 purpose yards, 70 through the air, 50 on the ground. So that is a really good look. And Kenny Golladay finally turned it on. Jason Garrett finally opened his playbook instead of just remembering them.
Yes.
And he goes, oh, my God, we drafted a guy named Kadarius Toney in the first round. He played incredible. And I said he was going to be very good from the start. And they finally started using him. Evan Ingram. So,
do you think Garrett said to Joe Judge this week, who's 87?
No, 87 is Sterling Shepard. Who's number 89?
Yeah,
he probably was in practice. He goes, wait, did this guy, is he practice squad player? No, Jason, that's our first round pick. His name's Kadarius Toney. Yeah, that I would assume probably was a conversation this week.
Because
when you're without Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton, you can't just throw the ball 60 times to Kenny Golladay and Evan Ingram. So you kind of got to work in, you know, your Kadarius first round Toney. Pick that you traded down for and could have got offensive line help, Micah Parsons, a lot of different things could have happened. But we spent a first rounder on a wide receiver that hasn't been used in 3 weeks, and they finally discovered that he was on the football team.
So, I got reminded that Saquon Barkley is a Hall of Fame talent this past week as well. He looks like everything's back to normal for him, which is good. Another big headline we'll be talking about, I think the Jets will be 2-3 after this weekend. They play Atlanta.
Atlanta at 9:30 a.m. in London. I don't know. That's you can't call it a trap game, but it's a game where, like,
I was just going to say, can we call London a trap game at 9:30 in the morning?
But also, it's the same thing. It's 9:30 a.m. in London.
It's like, a trap game for someone.
Is anyone going to be paying it, like, is anyone going to be playing? It's 9:30 a.m. there, or here.
Yeah.
I don't know what,
there.
Yeah, I don't know what London time is, but they're not going to, I think it's going to be a 3-0 classic in London, and Young Hoku's going to win the game on a field goal.
Bounce it off the crossbar.
I can't believe they go, you know what? We're bringing football back to London. Here you go. Here's the Jets and the Falcons.
Yeah. Like it's a way to think about
we
it.
We want you to spend your money at that game. Who is going to spend their money going to that game? If I was in London, I'd be like, oh, I guess I'm watching this one on the TV.
Bills play the Chiefs. Obviously, we'll be talking about that. I still haven't made my mind up on that game. Cuse plays Wake Forest. I think Cuse is in for a night.
Yeah, especially when your number one receiver transfers this week.
Yeah, that would be a bad sign.
Taj Harris has transferred away from Syracuse. So I don't know. I don't think they win. But something I was listening to ESPN today, and they were doing their picks, which was weird. I turned it on. They were picking Syracuse, Wake Forest. And they said, which is true, Cuse's defense has played very well in the Dome this year. They played well against Liberty, who Liberty's a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they played well against UAlbany and Rutgers, but okay, they still played well. The Dome has looked really good for them, and then their offense turned it on last week against Florida State, just their defense shut down.
Yeah.
So you get a combination of that. I think it could be a good game. I mean, when has Wake Forest ever been good at football?
That's a fair point. I guess we don't know how good Wake is. They're 5-0, number 19 in the country.
But like, who have they played?
Exactly. I haven't seen them on TV yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure they played like the Citadel and
yeah.
Northwest College in Georgia, but I don't know.
You all are Albany State out of Georgia.
Which is fascinating that now we know there's a UAlbany and an Albany State.
Yep, all the way down in Georgia. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But no, I think they have a good shot this weekend. It's Wake Forest. They've never been, you know, statistically good. So I think we have a chance of pulling off an upset in the Dome.
Michael Gross, you want to hop on 3 or 2 just to tell us what's going to happen tonight? I do want to make this point. I really hope the Yankees win just because I'm a Yankees fan. I also wanted to set up for at your house on Friday, a Braves 4:30 game and then a Yankees game at 7:30. I think it would be the most exciting day of the year.
Yeah, Braves is going to give me a heart attack. So,
well, I'm not going to be able to watch the Braves game.
Shocker.
I'm not. I have to be at the soccer game. You're not going to be able to watch the Braves game either. You're going to be supporting the soccer team.
I will be calling the game and sprinting to my house afterwards.
So just like tonight after we
get out of class.
Get out of class. What are we going to do for dinner?
I don't know. I already ate, so.
No. I'm talking about.
Breaking news from Aaron Valentino, who is alive, said that the players said they wish Taj the best. Because he's been interviewing them.
Good.
So they wish Taj the best. So it's positive.
What are you guys talking about on the show today. I can't imagine what you guys would be talking about today.
We're going to go in-depth preview of tonight's game. Lineups, bullpens, coaching staff of Yankees, Red Sox, and Dodgers Cardinals.
That
scared me. The headset was loud. That's what we're doing on the hot corner. Stay tuned. 5 minutes.
Yeah,
everybody stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening to the Sports Hour on 88.9 WMYO, the late